Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You have time for me or no?
Here in Orange County in particular, there is a real need and lack of services for low-income immigrants.
Look at me here almost now 17 months, fight my kids.
Immensely complicated asylum process.
So you're from Egypt, you went to Sweden, you were in Sweden for like 17 years?
Because I have refugees in Sweden.
And may detainee everyone.
They are alone. One time he have gun, he put a gun for me, hey, I tell you, no contact with anyone.
Hello, this is a call from... An inmate at the Orange County Theology Facility.
I'm very, very tired for here.
Hi, my name is Alexis Allen, and you're listening to A Safe Place in a Dangerous Time. This is Episode 1, Not Under Arrest. Policymakers in this administration have implemented hardline policies to combat what they call a flood of immigrants, but these broad, hardline policies are created to deter the perfect criminal, or even the perfect candidate. But people are rarely the idealized immigrant, and sometimes this system, set up to make it hard for people to enter and stay, also makes it hard for people to leave.
Put me here almost now 17 months. Fight my kids.
Take Muhammad. Muhammad speaks 5 languages and has been learning his 6th, so he's hard to understand sometimes. In particularly hard to understand areas, there will be a voiceover.
I'm from Egypt, but I got my visa from Sweden to here. After 19 days, my visa expired.
He was set to leave the country just days before he was found with his expired visa. He's been in Theo Lacy Maximum Security Jail for 17 months now.
They put me with everybody criminal, everybody common life in jail. I never in my life had one day in jail. I don't have any trouble, any problem. I have a good job. I have a home.
But how is this legal? If Amendment 5 of the Constitution says that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Monica Glicken, an immigration lawyer at the pro bono law firm Public Law Center, would say,
that happens every day. That is happening all the time.
Doesn't that contradict the Fifth Amendment or due process? If they're just immediately criminals?
Apparently.
And that's because these jails technically don't count as incarceration.
Because the justification for holding them is not, we're not punishing them, and that's why it's not punishment. It doesn't get into whether it's cruel and unusual punishment or fair punishment, because we're not punishing them.
They're kept in the same cells, the same style blocks. They're just not called the same thing. I asked Carrie Braun, public information officer for the Orange County Sheriff's Department, about the treatment of detainees in their jails.
The detainees aren't in our facilities for crime.
They keep to the PBNDS.
It's
she told
based
me.
Off of what's in the PBNDS.
It stands for Performance-Based National Detention Standards.
Deviate from it very much.
The minimum standard set by ICE for holding immigrant detainees.
Okay. So whatever's in there is what we provide.
I asked if there were any extra provisions, any more rights, more time outside, or resources available for detainees in the jail, since they're not
inmates. They're not in our facility for a crime.
And there are some. Braun told me there's a law library available for the detainees, and they're allowed more movement around the facility.
So there's a little bit more ability for them to move freely around the area that they have been given in the facility.
And that movement, what does it look like?
It really depends on the facility that they're in. So at Music, it's a little bit more of a, their area is very separate, and there is an access to kind of an outdoor courtyard. Now they can't just be out there and sitting in the courtyard for, you know, 8 hours a day. But there is ability for them to go to and from medical or go to and from visiting without necessarily having to be escorted by a deputy every single place that they go. Theo Lacy is a little bit more locked down, but there is still the ability for them to access the law library, things like that. And a little more movement around the facility, but not as much as you would see at Music.
But Glicken tells me in her experience, the separation between detainees and criminals is not all that apparent.
Now, again, if you ask the facilities, they would tell you that they have certain divisions and separations in place and that they keep the two different populations separate. I don't know for sure, but my clients tell me that it is not so. The division is not very.
Yeah, they're not allowed to be housed with our general inmate population.
Okay, is there any crossover at all?
They do everything they can to not have crossover.
Though Braun assured me there's no crossover, grand jury reports, several news broadcasts, and Muhammad tell me the inside seems pretty bleak.
Everything bad. Bad food.
Bad food.
Bad sleep.
20 hours every day they close the door.
Small,
small. Two people in the room.
All right, no window.
No window, just door.
1 hour every day, day room.
1 hour in the game room?
Yeah, 1 hour. 1 hour, exactly.
Muhammad tells me there was confusion in his case that led to abnormal extensions. But there are a few things in his story that don't quite add up, and I feel like I should address them.
That it was so short.
Like visiting.
Okay. From what he tells me, Muhammad was born in Egypt, but left when he was 14, fleeing an abusive family and religious persecution. He got asylum in Sweden and built a life there over 17 years. Then he came to Los Angeles to visit friends, and that's where he was picked up for overstaying.
My visa expired, and after it expired, ICE was looking for me. So, ICE took me.
Muhammad tells me ICE found and booked him, and that was all there was to it. But ICE doesn't really track down people as low threat as someone who overstayed their visa. They mainly find undocumented persons through a national database, which means they'll have had to commit a crime or had some kind of run-in with the authorities, or someone reported them. However he got noticed, they ruled him either a danger to society, national security, or a flight risk, and he's been incarcerated ever since. Muhammad's been asking to go back to Sweden, but immigration courts have so far refused to send him back because he has an Egyptian passport. And overall, it's hard to prove you have asylum because international law limits the ability for countries to communicate who has asylum, mostly for the asylum seeker's protection, ironically enough. But now that Muhammad is arguing he is allowed to live in Sweden, there isn't much way to prove it, and the judges have so far refused to send him back. They would send him back to Egypt, but he would face harsh persecution. And for evading conscription, Muhammad might be sentenced to a year in prison and still forced to join the military. So he has to apply for asylum here, go through this country's asylum process without a lawyer and in the confines of jail, just to be able to go back.
You can ask for voluntary deport or something, but my passport is an Egyptian passport. So the immigration judge, he says no, I'll deport you to Egypt. But I have a problem in Egypt, for my religion, with my family, with the government.
Oh, yeah.
This call will be recorded and monitored.
That happens sometimes. Just another reminder of the limits to his freedom inside. And I realized, this is a business. This is a jail.
Understand that for our part, right? We're not a detention facility.
Yeah.
We're a jail.
And the only real thing these jails are required to do is hold these detainees.
So we have open and available bed space.
Just like they would hold any other criminal. So most of the help for these detainees comes from outside sources, like Gavin Cameron Webb, with the Friends of OC Detainees.
And the Friends of Orange County Detainees were set up to try and provide some humanitarian assistance.
These volunteers are able to visit detainees like Muhammad through the same system anyone else would visit an inmate. For Theo Lacey, that's a 30 to 40 minute visit, once a day, Friday through Monday during regular visitation hours. Sometimes they'll visit these detainees multiple times, but the program is really just to give these detainees someone to talk to, maybe helping to put them in contact with pro bono law firms.
How many have I met over the 4 years I've been doing this? Probably about 20 to 30 people.
But there are about 404 detainees in Orange County jails as of May 2nd, and Muhammad was not visited again. In the meantime, he's been using the law library to write his brief, but he's been struggling.
I need more information, like for my country, for religion, for politics, government. I now just wait so I can put more information, because I need to make a strong brief.
This whole system, all these big picture policies meant to protect, to dissuade, to keep the public safe, were seeming to collide with each other in 100 catch-22s. Here is Muhammad, a man who is on his way out of the country, now forced to stay inside, because of zero-tolerance policies and this administration's stance to dissuade people from entering, and because of the abolishment of the voluntary removal clause, which meant Muhammad could not just leave on his own, he had to be detained. Trying to go back to where he has protection, but his protections won't allow him to show that he has protection. And kept in a jail with criminals, but getting limited time in recreation areas to protect him from the criminals that live down another hall in the same style cell that he does. And then...
The decision to terminate the ICE contract came solely from the need for us to increase our amount of mental health services that are offered to our general inmate population.
Bron told me they were looking to restart their contract with ICE once all the renovations were done. But because of Senate Bill 54, a controversial law passed by liberal representatives that seeks to make California a sanctuary state by drastically limiting the authority's ability to communicate with ICE, the sheriff's department cannot open a new contract.
There's one other Northern California county that contracts with ICE. But other than that, we were the only two ICE contracts left in the state.
Yeah.
And because of SB 54, no new contracts can be negotiated. So because of that, we when we made notification to ICE about our decision to terminate the contract, whoever we spoke to indicated that likely, because of the limited amount of bed space in California because of SB 54, that likely the majority of the detainees that we have in our custody will be transferred out of the state.
California has been following this sanctuary state trend, but ending the ability for law enforcement to communicate with ICE does not mean ICE just won't exist or that immigrants just won't be detained or incarcerated like this anymore. It means they'll be taken away from the community-based volunteer groups like the Friends of OC Detainees, local pro bono law firms, and from their own families if they were close enough to visit before.
We'll just wait for the decision.
You sent in the brief?
I don't have to go to court no more.
I just wait for the BIA in Virginia.
This call will be recorded and monitored.
Do you think your case will be over by August?
I think yes. I think maybe in April, BIA give me decision.
Once he finishes his brief, he just has to wait for it to get back. And many more detainees, whose cases are not presently resting on a national level, will have their cases reopened in a whole other set of immigration courts. The setbacks for reopening an ongoing case in a new immigration court aren't clear, but there is backlog all over the country, which could only get worse by adding more cases.
In the future, do you know me? I hope everything's coming correct.
Yeah, I hope so too.
While piecing this episode together, I got a call from Adelanto. It was Muhammad, and he'd just been transferred. That was Sunday, May 12th. Next time, on A Safe Place in a Dangerous Time, how hardline policies have created a backlog in the immigration courts and how they differ from the regular justice system. Voiceovers by Keshav Srinivasan. And a special thank you to Casey Wayland, Wayland Productions, Susan Paterno, Kate Cherukian, and the entire Chapman Journalism Department. Thanks for listening.